Accession number 15537, real one.
Mr. Jenkins, real one. Where were you born, please?
South Wales, a place called Llwcoed.
Can you spell it?
LLWYCOED.
And that's in Glamorgan, is it?
It's West Glamorgan, yeah.
What did your father do for a living?
Primarily, he was a grocer in the village that I was born.
Did you go to school at Llwcoed?
No. Didn't I go to school?
Yes.
No. I didn't go to school until I moved north. My mother died when I was a small baby. But we stayed in Llwcoed for about a year and a half afterwards. Then we came north to St. Helens, where my father took up a position with Lipton's in Liverpool.
So you went to school in St. Helens?
No. We lived with an aunt in St. Helens for a short period until I was five. And by this time, we had moved to... The family had moved to...
Preston?
No.
Widnes, I think you said.
Widnes. And I first went to school in Widnes for a short period. Then my father took up a position with Melia's of Liverpool. And he began to open shops up and down the country when we moved to Pontypridd in South Wales. And we lived with my grandmother. Eventually, my father married again, and we came up north to Derby. That's right, Derby.
So where did you spend most of your time at school?
In Preston.
How old were you when you left school?
16. I won a scholarship and went to Preston Grammar School.
Did you get a job?
Afterwards.
When you left school?
No, I had great difficulty obtaining a job, but I eventually did and went to work with a wholesale news agent.
What were you doing when war broke out?
I was working at that job.
Did you hear Chamberlain's announcement that we were at war?
Yes, I was helping to sandbag a hospital in the district that I lived, which was the Willows Hospital, Preston.
How did you feel about the announcement that we were at war?
Well, very... I was unhappy about it, but I didn't seem to worry so much about... I knew I'd be called up, and I didn't seem very worried about it. And eventually, as the form shows, I was called up on the 2nd of February 1940. So quite a few weeks or months elapsed before I went into the army.
Where did you go for your training?
I was called up in the King's Own Infantry, Lancaster. Bowerham Barracks, Lancaster.
Was this the King's Regiment?
No, the King's Own Regiment, not the King's
King's Regiment. Own Royal Regiment.
The King's Own Royal Regiment, which had a lion for a cap badge.
What was your training like?
Well, I did 8 weeks foot training, which was drill and marching, at the barracks at Lancaster. And very rigid and very strict. After 8 weeks, we were moved out of the barracks and we went down to Middleton Holiday Camp, which was about 7 miles west of Lancaster. and we stayed there for until I was transferred to the 5th Battalion, 5th Battalion, King's Own, which were a territorial battalion. After about 2 years with 2 years with them, we were transferred to tanks, and we were given tanks, and we were formed as a tank regiment, and we became the 107th Regiment, Royal Armoured Corps. I stayed with them until 1943, when I was transferred to the 141st Regiment, the Royal Armoured Corps, and I stayed with them until the end of the war.
The 141st?
The 141st, sorry. 141st. About 6 months before we were demobilised, I was transferred to the
1st. About that, because you saw most of your action with the 141st.
The 141st, all my action with the 141st, yeah.
What kind of a unit was the 141st? What was it equipped with?
Flame-throwing tanks.
Can you describe what they were like?
Yes, they were very nasty. I don't think I'd agree with them if I'd have had any option of agreeing or disagreeing. They were attached to a Churchill heavy tank with a trailer at the rear end. And before ever they could be used, they had to have a what they call pressure put onto the flame throwing fuel which was in the trailer, and the commander of which I was at the time had to pressure the put pressure behind the gun, and then when the co-driver, who was the flame gunner, pressed the trigger of the flame gun, a huge gust of flame came out of the front of the flame gun, and hit the target at 120 miles an hour, which was pretty grim. And if I was stood in the turret, you got the gust of the flame come back at you, you see.
Was it harmful to the people in the tank?
Not to people in the tank, no. But there weren't much left of the people that it hit when it came out, you know. And I mean, which it often did, we often hit a German soldier or something like that, you know. But I had a rather bad accident with a Churchill tank in 1941, which caused the... that was nearly severed.
Your finger?
My finger was nearly severed. And I've been applying recently. Well, 4 years ago, I applied for a pension. But they said it wasn't worth it now. I don't know what your opinion is on that. But the whole of my hand is absolutely immobilised. I just have to keep it like that. Anyway, they've been again about 3 weeks ago.
What kind of range did these flamethrowers have?
120 yards. 120 yards.
What was your job as the tank commander?
Putting the gunners. I had a flame gunner at the front, a turret gunner, and a wireless operator, myself and the driver. Now, you get something, the same information, from Joe Ellis, because I don't know what he did on the tank.
What rank did you have as commander?
I had a rank of a corporal. We had two sergeants and one corporal. And then I became an acting sergeant.
So the senior rank in the tank was a sergeant?
Yeah. No, corporal. On two of the tanks, the senior rank was a sergeant. On the corporal's tank, which was my tank, it was a corporal. And then we had an officer who commanded the whole troop. And there was four tanks to a troop.
Which troop were you in?
7th troop. I was a corporal in 7th troop.
Where did you first train on the flame-throwing tanks?
Eastwell Park, Kent. Just outside Ashford in Kent. We did about 3 months before the invasion. And then at the invasion, one troop out of C Squadron went over on the invasion. We followed over a few weeks later, yeah.
You were in 7th Troop?
Yeah.
Which squadron were you in? Doesn't matter if you can't remember.
What squadron were I in?
Can I tell? B Squadron.
Oh, B Squadron, yeah. I'm sorry, my memory's not very good now.
When you were trained on the flame-throwing tanks,
yeah,
what instructions were you given about the best way to operate them?
What do you mean by that? Which...
If you were going into the attack with them...
Yeah.
What was the advice given to you about the best way to do it?
Well, before we went into an attack, we went to a TEUT, Tactical Exercise Without Troops. You've heard of that before, have you?
Yes.
We went to a tube, and we were given instructions of where the place was and any spots we had to avoid. I remember going to a few places to these chutes.
Who was the officer in charge of your troop? Do you remember?
Yeah, Harry Barrow. Lieutenant Harry Barrow. He's dead now.
What was he like as a commanding officer?
Oh, great bloke. Fine bloke. I think he's the photograph there of him somewhere. He lived in just outside Bournemouth.
Did the tanks also have guns?
Yeah, we had a 75-pounder. And a Beezer. Now, what was the Beezer? What was the calibre of the Beezer?
Don't worry, that will be on record.
Yeah, yeah.
Were there any accidents in training?
No, I don't think we had any accidents at all, no. We used East Weld Park as a training ground because there was plenty of space to fire the guns. But there was not that I can recall.
Now, you told me that the tanks had to be waterproofed. Can you tell me how that was done?
Yeah. Well, we went down to this place at just outside Woking. Can't remember the name of the place now. And we got underneath. Every man had his own job on the tank, and we got underneath. And along all the nicks, we spread a layer of Bostik, just ordinary Bostik sealer. And then when it had all been sealed that way, we painted the ceiling over with some sort of hardener. Then when all that was done, all this ceiling was done, we put extensions onto the exhausts, onto the back, and all this was for when the tank came, if we came off in water, off the landing ship tank in water, which we actually did, even though we didn't come off at D-Day. We came off in water, and the tank went down under and up and out. Does that make sense to you?
Onto the sea bottom?
Onto the sand. We came up, and as the tank came out, it came down like that, and then only for a very, very short distance, and then out, you see, and onto the side of the seashore.
We've jumped ahead a little bit. Going back to the waterproofing.
Yeah.
What happened after that?
After the waterproofing, we went to...
An isolation camp?
No, yeah, we did go to. I was trying to think of the name of the place. It was at Botley in Hampshire. Do you know it?
Yes.
Yeah. We went to Botley in Hampshire, where we went on the canvas to await being called up to go on to the LST. We went on to our LST, which was 1089. Yeah, I can remember things like that.
Did any VIPs come round to Botley?
Not to Botley, but to Eastwell Park. General Montgomery came to talk to us and tell us what we were going to do, and he gave us an idea but didn't tell us when it would happen, which was about 2 months later.
What kind of impression did Montgomery make?
Oh, very good. But we thought, well, most of the chaps thought he was a great fella, and as it turned out, he was a good general.
Can you describe what he was like? In his manner and so on?
Yeah, he was very abrupt, and how the picture of him is how he was, if I can make my meaning, you know. He was pictured as a very abrupt man, wasn't he?
Yes. Do you remember anything he said?
I'm afraid I don't.
How confident did you feel when you were waiting at Botley?
Very confident indeed. We went from Botley down to the landing ship tank during the night, in the middle of the night. And we went onto the boat, which were big things, which would fit about 12 tanks during the night, and moved out into the Solent at first light. But of course, the invasion was on then, so we were only going over as reinforcements. Because then there were more of our type of tanks over there then, the flamethrower.
So you went at D plus what?
D plus 13.
What was the crossing like?
Rough, very rough.
Why did you not go right inshore? Why did the tanks have to go underwater?
Well, the tide was in. The tide was in at the time, and we had to come off the tank, we had to come off the ship. So the tank had to go into the water, you see.
How did the waterproofing work in your tank?
Oh, right. Okay, fine. Nobody got wet. we came out of the off the seabed and straight up the side of the tank. And as when we got to the top, we pressed a button inside and it blew the exhaust waterproofings off. And they just dropped off. Then we carried on then to a small place called Saint Michel, which was some 2 miles down the road, or kilometres, whatever you like to put.
Was there any enemy opposition on the beaches?
None on the beaches, no. Then, by that time, they'd fallen back, and we had started to. If you read the Playboy book, it'll tell you quite a bit about the what attacks we did during the first few days. But I didn't come into action until probably. A few, a few weeks, I think. I didn't see my first action. And by that time, we went back to Brest. Did you know that?
No.
We fought at Brest. Well,
was that the first time you were in action at Brest?
At Brest, yeah. The Americans were fighting with us then, and well, they were, weren't they? And the Americans came for us, and they wanted to take us down to Brest, but of course, that wasn't allowed. They had to go and see the Corps commander, which was General Horrocks at the time, 11 Corps, and we went down to Brest.
You just drove on roads all the way to Brest?
No. They brought up tank transporters for us, and they brought huge, very big lorries. We detached the trailer and took the trailer down to Brest with us. And after a few days at Brest, we fought at a place called Fort Montbarry, which was a very highly enforced place, and we eventually, after losing two men in action, we lost two men at prior to Fort Montbarry, and then we left there. We left Brest and made our way down to Mont Saint-Michel, which was near the coast.
Do you remember your first time in action well?
Yeah, very well. George Schnaschel, I'd in the meantime, I'd been transferred to Nine Troop, and I first went into action with George Schnaschel as my driver. Joe Staples, Bill Hudson, and the man whose name I don't recall as my wireless operator.
Can you describe what happened on your first time in action?
Yes, we went down to Fort Montbarry. Prior to going to Fort Montbarry, myself, a sergeant called Decent, D-E-C-E-N-T, he's dead now, and Sergeant Huxtable went down to Fort Montbarry, and on our bellies, we went at 6 o'clock at morning to view the terrain just before we went in. Then at about 8 o'clock in the morning, we moved up.